to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Coming up, the Melbourne Stars collapse as the Renegades take the Big Bash crown.
By now, Tova Pierce. It should be caught. Man stuns underneath it. Catch is taken. Cameron White takes the catch. 7 for 19. And that, well, may be the end of the hopes for the Melbourne Stars.
Sri Lanka with a miracle win in South Africa.
He does it! He absolutely does it! One of the greatest innings you'll ever see from a Sri Lankan outside Sri Lanka. He's got his team to victory. He's got 150. What a historical day here at Durban.
The Demons make it 2 wins in a row in the AFLW season.
This to extend the lead, and she makes no mistake. Melbourne on fire here at Hickey Park.
Sydney FC escape with a draw in A-League action on Sunday.
What about this one?
A crucial win for Melbourne United in the NBL on Sunday.
Especially when Bryce Cotton's going. Oh, Golding. You heard the cheer for Chris Golding.
And Kiwi golfer Ryan Fox with a breakthrough win in WA on Sunday.
Hold it down there close enough. That will be good enough. Ryan Fox taps it in and he's broken through.
All that and more coming up on this morning's edition of A Breakfast Bite on RSN 927. Yes, welcome along. Andrew Q's taking care of this morning's Monday edition of A Breakfast Bite, looking back at a lot of sporting news and results from Sunday into Monday. Let's start with the cricket. It's the big talking point out of Sunday. They're calling it the Miracle at Marvel.
The Melbourne Renegades somehow have won their first Big Bash title. No one here knows how they've done it, but they have. A 13-run win, the most unlikely of victories for the men in red.
I've never seen anything like it. They were dead and buried half an hour ago, and they've won it easily now. And that's a tremendous win by the Renegades from nowhere. You've got to feel sorry for the Stars, though.
Yes, Fox Cricket coverage, an amazing collapse by the Melbourne Stars, handing the Melbourne Renegades a win in the most important game of the Big Bash season, the final on Sunday. The Melbourne Renegades batted first. They were 5 for 65 at one stage. And they can thank Christian and Cooper for a 80-run stand that saw them make 5 for 145. It still looked to be well under par. And the Melbourne Stars were none for 93, a half-century to dunk. Stoinis was 39. They were cruising to a win. In fact, they needed 53 runs from just over 7 overs with all 10 wickets in hand. And then one of the craziest collapses we've seen in cricket in any competition in many a year. The Melbourne Stars would lose 7 wickets for 19 runs and in the end lose the match by 13 runs. With thanks to Fox Sports Cricket, here's those crazy moments and minutes that saw the match on Sunday turned on its head.
Stoinis is bowled! Boyce finally gets a wicket. And the Stars lose their first. Anscombe, this is what he did the other night, but he hasn't got away with it. Should be 2 in a short period of time. And the door ever so slightly opens for the Renegades.
Last ball for Boyce.
Down the ground, catch is taken by Christian.
Wow.
That goes. And all of a sudden, this game is alive.
Oh, yes, how it certainly is.
Maxwell.
High in the air. This should be out. Should be the end of Maxwell. It is. You can't believe what you're seeing here at Marvel. The Renegades come from everywhere. And wickets are tumbling.
Boundary since the 12th over.
Oh, no.
Slow ball. Madison's the next one to go. Finch loves it. 5 for 15. They've lost the men in green. And they are crumbling.
Watch.
Worked away on the leg side. Man comes in, takes the catch.
Oh, no.
Another wicket falls. Harvey takes the catch. They have now lost 6 wickets, the Melbourne Stars, for 15
what
runs.
Going on
and
out
this
there?
Game has been turned on its head. Now, Tova Pierce. It should be caught. Man stuns underneath it.
Oh,
catch is taken. Cameron White takes the catch. 7 for 19. And that, well, may be the end of the hopes.
It would certainly be the end of the hopes for the Melbourne Stars. To put this in perspective, in live betting at the tab, the Melbourne Stars weren't even $1.10. They were cruising to a win, a remarkable collapse that will stay in their minds for a long time to come. So the Renegades win. Here's Aaron Finch speaking post the win on Fox Cricket's coverage.
Very excited. It was a grind there. Our boys bowled exceptionally well. They're unbelievable, especially in that back 10. It was a team that we haven't had the standout performances like throughout, like the Darcy Short and Matty Wade, these guys that have scored a mountain of runs, but everyone's contributed when they had to, and couldn't be happier.
Well, we said that at the top of the program. Both teams have just found a way. That's how you've got to the final.
Yep.
You've mentioned that no big standout performers. What about the effort with the ball there? Cameron Boyce opened it up. He's been brilliant. And then Tremaine and Christian and Gurney, all-round great effort.
Unbelievable effort. Harry Gurney's probably... I haven't seen many better at the death than him. The way that he can execute under pressure and every time, it was outstanding. Dan Christian, the last couple of games that he's had with bat and ball, and I think that partnership with Tommy Cooper there to get us to 145 was unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. At what point in the game did you start to think you were back in it? You just needed to do something. When Stoinis got out, none for 93 were. Did you think the doors open, or was it still a foregone conclusion?
I thought when we got dunked, caught at mid-off, then we had long off, had 2 new batters in.
Yeah.
On a wicket like this, it's so hard to chase runs. That's why I was really happy to bat first on a used wicket, on a deteriorating wicket. We knew if you can get it to 7 and over, it doesn't seem like much in this game, but there's no square, so the ball doesn't go anywhere. Forcing new batters to take a risk first up, and we did. Maxwell hold out at deep square. The boys executed under pressure. Chris Tremaine hasn't bowled that many overs.
Yeah.
Played a few games and not bowled that many overs. To come back and do what he did was unbelievable.
Good crowd, wasn't it?
Great crowd. 40,800, I think. Very special. Special to win in front of them, too.
Well done, mate. You've got to celebrate. Good on you.
Aaron Finch there post the Melbourne Renegades win. Let's hear what Glenn Maxwell had to say at the post-match presentations.
Extremely proud. We played some great cricket this tournament. To have it probably just fall a bit short at the end is really disappointing. But there's a lot of great signs to come out of this group and going forward for next year. So hopefully we can start a run of making these games and hopefully we'll win it next year.
It was a Renegades home game, but there was such a sea of green here. It was a wonderful support.
Yeah, it was great support. It was great of our supporters to turn up, and they've been brilliant for us all year and previous years as well. So thank you very much for turning up and supporting us throughout, and hopefully we can get the biscuits next year.
Glenn Maxwell. So repeating the match scores, the Melbourne Renegades 5 for 145. The Melbourne Stars finished at 7 for 132, a 13-run win. Again, the stats are crazy. The Melbourne Stars were none for 93. They batted out the innings and were not dismissed and still lost by 13 runs. They lost 7 wickets for 19 runs. And the Melbourne Renegades are the Big Bash champions for this past season.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
So that was a remarkable collapse. Let's stay with cricket, because on the weekend past, just as remarkable would be the win by Sri Lanka in Durban in the first test against South Africa. Sri Lanka don't win too many matches these days on the road, and South Africa don't lose too many matches on their home turf. And the Sri Lankans chased down 304 to win in the fourth innings. And what made it more remarkable is the last wicket pairing of Pereira and Fernando put on 78 runs for the last wicket, and Pereira making 153 not out in a record last wicket stand. It's the highest last wicket stand in a successful run chase in first-class cricket. It was an amazing, amazing win by Sri Lanka in South Africa.
He does it! He absolutely absolutely does it. One of the greatest innings you'll ever see from a Sri Lankan outside Sri Lanka. He's got his team to victory. He's got 150. What a historical day here at Durban.
Yes, what a remarkable win there for Sri Lanka over South Africa. Just some other cricket notes. Pat Cummins on Sunday announced by the ICC as the new world number one bowler in the ICC rankings. He's the first Aussie to hold the number one berth in the bowling rankings since Glenn McGrath 13 years ago. Kohli retains the number one batsman's spot in the rankings. And even though he has not played in some time, Steve Smith, the highest ranked Australian in the batting, at fourth on the list.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
To AFLW, round three on the weekend. And the Demons, with a very big win in Brisbane. They travelled up north and beat the Brisbane side by 39 points. 9-6-60, the Demons, to Brisbane 3-3-21. That makes it two wins out of three now for Melbourne after they lost their first game of the season.
We can see that for 20 seconds.
One of the elite runners in the competition. This to extend the lead, and she makes no mistake. Melbourne on fire here at Hickey Park. As O'Day sends Melbourne inside, Zanka stayed down, and this would be another one.
Oh, yep.
What a goal, Eden Zanka.
There's a bit of poor body language too, Lynchy.
Yep.
Some bodies have dropped, and that's what happens when a few goals are kicked. But there's a bit of finger pointing going on too, so that needs to stop.
Cordner having a really good game, or Kate Hoare might have been hit high. Pays the advantage. Newman gets her third.
Some of the highlights from Melbourne's win in the AFLW on Sunday. Newman did kick three goals for the Demons. Here is Alicia Newman speaking to the Melbourne Football Club website team post their win.
It's so exciting. We knew what we needed to do today, and we produced it for four quarters. So that's exactly what we wanted to do.
Pretty exciting atmosphere, a bit of music. How's it feel?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's always hard coming away. They've obviously got more supporters out here, but yeah, I don't know. It's just they didn't have much to cheer for today. So yeah, it was great.
That's the aim of the game, I guess, shut them down. It was a really good defensive effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, H was outstanding today. All our defenders, I think, shut their key forwards down, like Wushner, Traub. They had really no one to go to. So, yeah, our defenders were so good today.
Personally, three goals to yourself. Is it exciting to get on the end of a couple?
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the interview before, I'm just the finisher. It's the work that further up the field that I reward pretty much. So, yeah, the midfield and the defenders did so well today, and I was just happened to be on the end of them.
Alicia Newman of Melbourne, after the Demons picked up their second win of the season, beating Brisbane by 39 points. And Coach Mick Stanier, pleased with the result.
Started really well against the Breeze, but just their work around the footy was exactly how we've been training. So they've carried that on from last week's performance. But then the second quarter really set it up. They're just able to play the game in our forward half, use that Breeze to our advantage, and convert it in front of goal. And then third quarter was a bit of an onslaught, and Brizzy didn't quite get the reward they deserved, but we felt like we defended and sort of scrapped it out. And then the girls, yeah, just played it right out to the last quarter. So, no, we're really pleased with their efforts. Yeah, they're in a good space at the moment.
So, high scoring was the order of the weekend in many games. The competition really has taken a turn for the better with lots of goals. And a similar scoreline at Norwood Oval on Sunday with the Adelaide Crows beating Geelong 10-6-66 to 6-1-37. And Ebony Marinoff setting a AFLW record for disposals, picking up 33 possessions in the win. And Phillips kicking three goals as the Crows had a strong win over the Cats.
Score of this third quarter. Oh, there might be another score coming up. Barn Hagen pounced and set sail towards goal. And these Crows are hot in front of their home fans.
Don't forget, of course, coach of the mighty Carlton Football Club women's side, Daniel Harford, along soon with the Breakfast Club. And he might be able to explain to our listeners the conference system, because Carlton have only won one game, yet as we speak this morning, they're top of their conference. The Demons, who have had another strong win, they're third only in Conference A. And Brisbane, who were belted on the weekend, remained third in their conference. So the mystery of the new conference system will be explained by half, I guess, because It is a little confusing, but I guess it will all clear up as the season progresses. Another big weekend of AFLW there, finishing up on Sunday with wins to Melbourne and Adelaide.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
You're with Andrew Hughes, hosting this morning's edition of the Breakfast Bite on this Monday. Let's go to A-League. Just one game on Sunday. This one upset the odds makers and punters a tad because Sydney FC and Central Coast playing a 1-1 draw. This was held at Leichhardt Oval, a home game for Sydney. Sydney were a very short price favourite, given their third on the ladder. Central Coast have only won one game all year. But Central Coast took the lead close to half time yesterday. So Central Coast taking the lead. Sydney, though, escaping with a draw. They converted a penalty in the 76th minute to make it 1-1.
What about this one?
That would be the final score. As I mentioned, Sydney were short-priced at favourite at tab to win. The over 2.5 goals was $1.40, but 1-1 spoiled that betting line. Both coaches were happy. Sydney coach Steve Corica after the draw.
The performance was very good. We dominated from the start. We had chances. And the only thing I'm disappointed at is we didn't score more goals, because I think first half they had one chance and they scored against the run of play. And then other than that, I can't remember. A long-range shot from the edge of the box, I think Red has made a save. And then really from then on, it was all us.
Steve Corica there. He was happy despite not winning. And when you've only won one game all year and you're on the bottom of the table, a 1-1 draw with Sydney is certainly a positive. Here's Mike Mulvey, the Mariners coach.
You look at the history of the season so far, I think that's a pretty significant result against significant odds. You know, Sydney threw everything at us, basically. And of the three games that we've played them this season, that was probably where we've been the least effective going forward. And they were on the game. I mean, look, they were trying to bounce back from losing in Brisbane last week. And it's a bit of a problem when Sydney, you know, they can't afford to lose games.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
And staying with football of the round ball code in Australia, we're expected today, or in the next 24 hours at least, to hear the announcement that Ante Milic will be the new coach of the Matildas. This controversial coaching story in recent weeks, but Ante Milic expected to be given the green light, the nod, as the new Matildas coach. Matilda Caitlin Ford spoke on Fox Sports on Sunday, saying she was looking forward to finally having a new coach announced.
We personally don't know yet still who our coach is going to be, but I have heard good things about him. But, I mean, for me personally, it's just, you know, we just need the right person for the job, and if that is him, it's hard to say, obviously, not being in the women's game and stuff like that. But I think, obviously, whoever it is that does get put in place, they will tie in well with our staff we already have, and obviously just give us the best chance possible in the World Cup.
Caitlin Ford from the Matildas speaking on Fox Sports on Sunday.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
You are with Andrew Hughes. Let's look at some basketball. A crucial home win over the Perth Wildcats in overtime yesterday, with the Melbourne United side winning 81-70 to secure second spot on the table. It means they'll have home court advantage against the Sydney Kings in their semi-final series matchup. Here's Dean Vickerman after the United win on Sunday.
Secured the home court advantage, and that was our job today. And you know, a packed house, and you know, this is how we, you know, continue to grow the game. When you get a full house, you want to. You know, we didn't deliver for, you know, a good portion of the game, but we delivered in the end, and that's what gets people excited about our sport. To you know, to see a group battle and then, you know, find a way to get it done. And you know, obviously with the Sydney rivalry, you know, the fans are going to be so important, and they were pretty good down the stretch today.
So crucial win, United with home court. They take on the Sydney Kings. The other semi-final matchup will be between the top team Perth Wildcats, who held on to top despite the loss on Sunday to Melbourne, and they'll take on the fourth place Brisbane Bullets. Melbourne United coach Dean Vickerman last night was announced as the Coach of the Year at the NBL Awards, and Andrew Bogut was the most valuable player for the past season.
I think it's one of the closest races as far as I supported the NBL. I think, you know, if I would have picked it, I probably would have given it to Bryce, to be quite honest. I think he had a great finish to the season. Casper was right up there. Even Chris Goulding came on late, Jerome Randall, number of guys, so much talent in this league. I know I'm not a top scoring guy every game, but I try to impact games in different ways, so I appreciate everybody who voted. Seeing those things, it's not always on a stat sheet for me, so that's why I didn't really think I had a great chance to win it, to be quite honest with you. Thank our ownership group at the NBL, Larry Kesselman, you've done a great job turning this thing around. Everybody in the league, even around the world, is talking about the NBL.
Andrew Bogut, the most valuable player, as announced last night at the NBL Awards night.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
To golf, and Kiwi golfer Ryan Fox has picked up his first big win on the European Tour. He won the co-sanctioned Super Sixes event in Perth on the weekend. He had to survive four match play rounds after qualifying through three rounds of stroke play, and he beat Adrian Ottagui in the final. In the match play, 3-2.
Hold it down there close enough. That will be good enough. Ryan Fox taps it in, and he's broken through.
Here's Ryan Fox speaking post the win.
Pretty damn good to me. Been a tough day. I think, you know, I went down the last and all bar the final, and you know, conditions were pretty brutal again, and you know, it was pretty tough yesterday as well. So I'm very happy to be standing here.
And a really dominant win in that final. Just what clicked in that final game to clinch it?
I just felt really calm. I think I was a bit quick early, you know, in the quarter and the semi, and got away with it. And you know, I guess I had a bit more of a chance to just sit down and take stock of things after the semi. I literally walked straight from the 18th to the...
Ryan Fox speaking after winning the final of the Super Sixes in Perth against Spanish golfer Adrian Ottagui in the final. In the Women's Australian Open held in Adelaide at the Grange Golf Club on Sunday, a terrific family story for the winner, because it was young Nellie Corder who won by two shots. Nellie Corder, her sister Jessica Corder, won the Australian Women's Open some 7 years ago. And they're, of course, the daughters of the former tennis star Petter Corder, who, of course, had a great affiliation with the Australian Open in many a trip down under. Best of the Aussies, Hannah Green, Sarah Kemp, were tied for 10th place. And, of course, Adam Scott is right in the hunt as we speak in the LA Open, the Genesis Open on the USPGA Tour. The Breakfast Club will keep an eye on the golf scores through the morning. Well, that wraps it up for this morning's edition of A Breakfast Bite. For now, this is Andrew Q saying thanks for listening.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.